Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Kash Patel joins us to talk about the latest from the Igor Danchenko case. And Sheriff Mark Lamb is with us to talk about what is happening on the southern border and to promote our new piece from Turning Point USA, Border Battle, that you guys can find at salemnow.com. That is salemnow.com. As always, you can email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. That's freedom@charliekirk.com. And subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. Open up your podcast app and type Charlie Kirk Show in. And you can email me, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. You know, the border is completely and totally wide open. And, you know, if for quite some time we've been talking about how the American southern border, the U.S. southern border, is being invaded by the cartels, who are completely and totally pure evil. I believe over 5 million people have passed across the southern border since Biden has become president. Over 2 million people in the last year. Our sovereignty is completely and totally at stake. And, you know, for some people, they say, well, you know, we need mass amnesty for everybody here. And I say, that's interesting. So you're making an excuse for one law. What other laws do you want to make excuses for? And I refuse to call these people immigrants. They are line cutters, border jumpers. They are cheaters to come into the American system. And as far as I'm concerned, every day they stay in America, they're continually breaking our laws. You break into someone's country or home and you just keep staying there. And we should somehow feel sorry for those people. And they say they're economic migrants. No, they're not. They're thieves. They're stealing on the American system because they broke into our country. They know that what they're doing is wrong, by the way. It's immoral. And then, you know, I have these charities that come out and try to help them. Like, well, we must have a heart for them. Yeah, have a heart for them by sending them back to their country. It's not that hard. I don't have to overthink it. Anyway, so Turning Point USA, we started a new project called Border Battle. It's a great project. And we've been working on it for over 9 months, and we had a big part of it is kind of our time with Sheriff Mark Lamb, who's just awesome. And it's an education project brought to you by Turning Point USA to educate you about what's actually happening on the American southern border. And you guys can check it out at salemnow.com. Let's watch the trailer, 61.
Americans across our country have to know that the overdose death crisis that they are facing in the northern parts of this country is directly linked to Cartel Jalisco New Generation and the Sinaloa Cartel and their labs. They need to know that the failure of the United States government to adjust to these cartels is what has driven the worst overdose death crisis in American history. And this will get worse before it gets better, but that this issue is absolutely fixable.
SalemNow.com. The documentary is amazing. It's beautiful. It is aesthetically really entertaining. It's informative. It's educational. And you're going to walk away from it with a lot of information and hopefully some clarity on the subject of the border. Promo code Kirk for 20% off at SalemNow.com. Joining us now is one of the stars of the film, Sheriff Mark Lamb. Mark, welcome to
What's
the
going
program.
On, Charlie?
You say in the documentary that the cartel is pure evil. Tell us more about that.
Absolutely, Charlie. And thank you for doing this project, by the way. I think that more Americans, this is the only way we're going to really let Americans know what's going on out there. But the cartels are pure evil because they have zero regard for human life, whether it's abusing people that these open border policies are bringing to the doorsteps of the cartels, whether they're enslaving those people or killing American citizens with fentanyl or ruining our economy, whatever it is, the cartel could care less as long as they're making money and gaining in power. And that is why they are pure evil. Look, I believe that freedom is next to godliness. And if you take away somebody's freedom, whether it is through enslavement or whether it is through enslavement through the drugs like fentanyl, you are doing the opposite of that, which makes you pure evil.
Yeah. So can you talk about how the cartel runs the southern border? This is something that a lot of people that do not live in border states quite understand. Can you talk about how they human smuggle for profit and for cash? And that we're dealing with a very sophisticated organization of the cartel that is not just, you know, kind of some typical gangbangers. You know, these are people that really understand the intricacies of logistics and military technology. And we talk about it all throughout the documentary, Border Battle. Talk to us about how the cartel controls the border. I think it's very important for our audience to understand.
Well, they control it through violence, first and foremost. I mean, that is the way that they gain this territory. And they've done it here in America. It's not just in Mexico. They have their own routes right here in America, right through counties like mine, that they, in essence, control. The Bureau of Land Management, which is our federal government, has put up signs saying travel caution. Smugglers may be encountered in this area. To me, that's like our government giving up and saying, look, we've just kind of conceded this area to the Mexican cartels. And what they use is, like I said, they use violence and fear to intimidate their people. Now, what we've seen is a 2,000% increase in what was already a very profitable business for them. It is even more profitable now. But what most Americans don't realize, we all know that the cartels traffic drugs into America, but do they know the extent of the human trafficking that is going on into America? And these open border policies we're seeing now are bringing, like I said, the clientele right to the doorstep of these cartels, and they're charging $5,000-$6,000 a person. They have so much cash on hand. I heard they're making $200 million a week right now with the amount of people showing up and paying them cash to come over to America. So that's their main stay of operations, is trafficking humans, trafficking drugs, and they're going to do it at all costs. And like you said, Charlie, they have so much money that they can hire the brightest and best minds out there to ensure that their product is arrived safely at its location.
Yeah, the New York Times says smuggling migrants at the border, now a billion-dollar business. We talk about this in our film, Border Battle. Mark, why don't more of our leaders talk about how the cartel is just printing money off of this? Where is Mark Kelly, for example? Why is Mark Kelly, who is the senator from Arizona for our national audience, why is he ignoring the fact that millions of people are being illegally smuggled for cash across our southern border? Isn't that slavery?
Yes, it is. This is an uncomfortable topic for a lot of Americans, but I will tell you, slavery has never been more prolific in America. The cartels are enslaving people every day. They have 300,000 people showing up at the border every month that they can enslave. How many times can I sell you a pill? You'll hear this in the show. Once. How many times can they sell you a woman or a child? Over and over and over again. And so it boggles my mind as well, Charlie, that people like Senator Kelly are not standing up. He and I had a very frank conversation 6-8 months ago. And I said, I need you to be vocal against this government to tell them how wrong this is, because you, Senator Kelly, know firsthand just what is going on here in Arizona. And your indifference or silence on this matter, it makes you complicit in it. So we had a very frank conversation. He will pretend like he cares only because he wants your vote. But I will tell any voters out there on the fence, he doesn't care one bit. He has purposely turned a blind eye to it, just like this administration. And to answer your question, Charlie, they're scared. They're scared to say and speak out because of the way that this administration has gone after people, or the way liberals and the left and the progressive attack you if your voice is contrary to theirs. And so most of them would rather sit in the corner and be quiet and be cowards.
That's exactly right. Sheriff Mark Lamb. Are you like every one of us that thinks our country has gone nuts, whether it's Russiagate, market crashes, or selling oil to China, or this insane inflation? Well, right now, you need a financial mind who understands your concerns
but at the same time has a Christian worldview of money. That's why you should talk to my friends at Pax Financial Group. Look, I've given my money to Pax Financial to manage. If it's good enough for me, I think it's good for you. Like all of us, they have concerns, but they also have hope. In this market, you must have a financial person who shares your hope and at the same time can help you with biblical responsible investing, BRI, biblical responsible investing. That's why I want you to text the word Charlie to 74868. That is Charlie to 74868 to connect with my friends at the Pax Financial Group. Biblical responsible investing. So take out your phone. Just text Charlie to 74868. That's 74868. Text Charlie to connect with my great friends at the Pax Financial Group.
Mark, let me ask you, what is the solution to this? Because I think when you watch the Border Battle series, people will learn how bad it is, but also how solvable it is. How do we fix this invasion happening on our southern border?
Well, Charlie, the most simple thing to do is go back to the Trump era policies that we were under when this administration change occurred. We know that those were successful just by the mere numbers. Really, they need to put the pride aside, go back to those. Now, we got to build on that. We've got to continue to finish the wall. We've got to make sure that Border Patrol, ICE agents, CBP agents feel emboldened to do their job. You've got to do a hard shutdown on this border. The only way we're going to stop the flow of fentanyl and human beings being trafficked into this country for slavery oftentimes, the only way we're going to stop that is do a hard shutdown on this border. Watching your live thing, you talk about you getting people out of this country. We have to send a message that it's not okay to break our laws, and we're going to have to really make some hard decisions. And those are not easy things to do. Now, what we cannot do is do things like pass up on 18,000 Border Patrol agents, but fund 87,000 IRS agents when we only have 386 ICE agents in the entire state of Arizona. So our ability to remove people that have come into this country illegally, even criminals, is very handicapped just because of that.
Unbelievable. Can you repeat that number again? How many ICE agents are in the state of Arizona?
386. You know, that includes your hierarchy, you know, your supervisors. So how many ground level guys do you actually have? Only 386 in the entire state of Arizona. And they're talking about putting 87,000 IRS agents. For all of you American people, that should tell you they do not care about your security nor your border. They only want your money.
Unbelievable. It is so solvable, and it's such an incredible crisis. Really quick, Mark, can you talk about the damage fentanyl is doing to communities across the country, made possible thanks to Democrats keeping our border wide open?
Absolutely. And that is the cause, Charlie, because it's coming through the southern border. Fentanyl has become the leading cause of death of Americans amongst the ages of 18 to 45. And yet it's over 107,000 people last year. I guarantee that number is going to be far superior to that this year. And I haven't heard a single word from this president or his administration. I don't hear anything from the mainstream media, and they don't want to address it because that would expose their inefficiencies and the problems with their open border policy. So they really don't want to talk about it. And it's shameful that they're not, because the families of these loved ones who are being poisoned across this country deserve to be treated better. It is unbelievable how they've just turned their backs on the American people in that sense. Charlie, I'm going to give you some statistics for Arizona, because you don't just have to ingest this drug to make it lethal for you. You just have to be in the vicinity of it. In Arizona last year, 33 children died from fentanyl poisonings, 7 under the age of 1. If that statistic alone doesn't get all of these politicians unelected, then I don't know what to do. Maybe our moral compass is much more broken than I thought. But the fentanyl crisis is going to bring America to its knees. And we talk a lot about it in Border Battle. They did a really good job of really showing the American people this how it impacts American families. And thank you again, Charlie, for really having the guts and and using your resources to put this out there. I can't thank you enough.
Well, thank you. We deeply appreciate that. And it's going very well. You were very generous with your time. It's Border Battle, salemnow.com. Sheriff Mark Lamb guides us through it from the Arizona perspective. And it is an all-out invasion, modern-day slave trade. And yes, the left does not care at all. Sheriff Mark Lamb, thank you so much.
Thank you, Charlie. God bless.
You want to know what the left's real plan is for your kids? Just look at how they react to the wonderful company of Patriot Mobile. I use Patriot Mobile and you should too. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative cell phone provider. This is because they take a portion of your bill and fund conservative causes and candidates who believe in sanctity of life, freedom of speech, the Second Amendment, and they're winning. Patriot Mobile's amazing. They have affordable plans for you, your family, even your business. They offer the same nationwide coverage as the major carriers because they use multiple major networks. Plus, you're supporting conservative values with every call. Go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation with the offer code CHARLIE. Special discounts are also available for veterans and first responders. That's patriotmobile.com/Charlie. Join our movement, make the switch today, and make a difference tomorrow. patriotmobile.com/Charlie. That is patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT. patriotmobile.com/Charlie.
Kash Patel. Kash is a great American. Honored to call him a friend. Kash, welcome back to the program. I have to be honest, I'm not following this Igor Danchenko case closely. Remind us who he is and the significance of this, and do you still believe in John Durham?
Hey, Charlie, it's great to be back with you. Thanks so much for having me on again. So Igor Danchenko, the short story is he was Christopher Steele's number one source for the false dossier, meaning that he was the one that peddled the false information to Steele, who is getting paid by the Hillary Clinton campaign and the FBI for being an FBI informant. But what we learned last week was that Danchenko himself, and this even floored me, the guy who did Russiagate, was a paid informant for the FBI for 3+ years after they fired Christopher Steele. So they used their corrupt activities and their confidence in Human Source Network to cover up their own arrogance, to cover up their own corrupt actions. And what did we learn yesterday in day one of the trial? Not only that, but we learned that the FBI offered up to $1 million for Christopher Steele to go and corroborate the false information in October of 2016. That means they knew it was false before they went to an FBI FISA court, and they did it anyway, and they were willing to pay a taxpayer-funded bounty to lie to a federal court.
I mean, this is incredible. And so the significance of this is that the federal government is paying for the infiltration of political opponents. I mean,
that's
Kash,
exactly
just when
right.
You think it doesn't get any worse, just when you think it can't get any worse, we learn this. And so what exactly is what do you expect to come out of this trial? Is this going to be another swing and a miss?
I don't think so, because we're out in Virginia and and we're not in DC, thankfully. So we've got a much better jury pool out there, seem to have a much smarter judge. And also Danchenko is charged with 5 counts versus 1 count. So there's 5 separate felonies he's charged with. So the jury would have to give him an entire pass on everything. And what the defense has basically said is, yes, their client Danchenko lied. So they've admitted half the case. But they're saying, oh, it wasn't a big deal, nothing to see here, sort of this thing we call materiality under the law. They're saying it's not material, it's not a big deal, it didn't change anything. And what John Durham is saying is, you literally lied to the FBI 5 separate times about supposedly an investigation. They say they were running above board at the time, but you were funneling complete false information. You then became a source of the FBI, and now you're being prosecuted by a special counsel for breaking the law while you were paid government informant. I mean, I don't know how much more corrupt it can get, but John Durham's going to at least lay out all this information. But that $1 million offer to Christopher Steele in October of 2016, just before the first FISA warrant went up, proves that James Comey and company lied to the world when they said we had verified all the relevant information in that application in the Steele dossier. They had offered 1 million reasons for the world to believe 1 million more of their lies.
So there's a Politico article that says Danchenko trial opens, expected to be last of prosecutors probe. Is that really it? This is it for Durham, Kash? All this buildup, all of this drama for a sustained acquittal?
Yeah.
And
yeah. I don't know.
Go ahead.
I've been big on John Durham. I hope it's not his last one. I don't know what the sourcing is. I have no inside information on it. But he's trying this case himself. He's actually in the courtroom doing the prosecuting, which is a rarity. So that's interesting. But I really hope not. I've been on your show a lot, and I've gone big on John Durham in the past. And I just hope that this is not the last one, because you're right. It would be a tragic end to hold almost no one at the mid-levels is where I wanted to go, Accountable, Strzok, the Pages, the McCabe's and company. And if this is where it ends, then, you know, we're going to have to just go in and do it ourselves in 24, but that's going to be too late, as you and I have talked about.
Yeah, I mean, so we impeached a president for a bunch of lies twice, and then the FBI now admits, you know, basically that they can't prove. I mean, like, so I'm really curious. It's not for a lack of evidence, Cash, right? We have the evidence. Mm-hmm. Is it just a lack of will, or Durham is afraid to lose? What's going on?
Well, remember, the one man that John Durham has to be controlled by the law is Merrick Garland. And we've seen Merrick Garland, as I refer to these people now, corrupted at the top levels of government gangsters, is the most politically motivated attorney general in the history of the United States. And you can just see this from all his recent actions that you and I have talked about extensively. So John Durham reports to Merrick Garland, and if Merrick Garland doesn't give him the permission to continue prosecuting, then John Durham doesn't have the ability to do so. So if that's the case, then we need to find that out. If he was shut down by a politically active attorney general from exposing more of their own corruption, and that'll, the FBI and DOJ have to be completely overhauled as it is. But if we come to find that out after we have midterm victories here, and that's what happens, then, I don't know that the faith in these institutions can be restored anytime soon.
Yeah, I'm afraid you're right. And so I know so many people in our audience are waiting, you know, for some form of justice. And I just don't think we're ever going to see it with Peter Strzok or Lisa Page or any of these people, unfortunately. I just don't think they're ever going to be held accountable. And so, you know, the FACE Act makes it a federal crime to use force, the threat of force or physical obstruction to prevent individuals from obtaining or providing reproductive health care services. I think it's widely being misapplied. Cash, so let me get this straight. If you spy on a president and create a plot against a president, you can walk freely, but you go outside of a pro-life center and sing hymns, and you're going to be raided by the FBI. How does that one work?
Yeah, that's the two-tier system of justice that this administration under Merrick Garland and Chris Wray has created for the American people. They are politically targeting individuals instead of targeting individuals for crimes. They are manufacturing crimes and committing, I think, unlawful activities at the DOJ and FBI, by as you outline. This is a two-tier system of justice that they have basically built single-handedly in modern-day America, which was never or ever supposed to have that occur. And I get your and my and everybody else's outrage on this because it is destroying America's ability to trust its law enforcement.
Yeah, I just I see it, you know, time and time again. So what can the new Congress possibly do, Cash, in this regard? I mean, criminal referrals obviously do nothing. What can the new Congress do anything about this? Or is just kind of Russiagate going to go into the memory and nothing's going to happen?
Well, the new Congress can do what Devin and I did when we ran Russiagate, which is stand up a committee to at least educate the world on what actually happened and get the truth out. I know it's not the form of accountability that people are going to want to see with terms of prosecutions. And I get that. Me, as a former national security prosecutor, certainly gets that. But as the guy who ran Russiagate, at least Congress's job is to be able to get the information out to the American public and the world as to what happened. And they can do that because we have seen how rogue committees like the Unselect Committee on January 6th abuses congressional subpoena power. But you've seen the power that it has to produce documentation and witnesses when necessary. So I hope our leaders, when we send them there, great guys like Blake Masters in Arizona and Adam Laxalt in Nevada, where we all live out west there, folks like that are going to have to show up in strength to get and demand the documents and they be released. So we, at least amongst ourselves, can have accountability at the voting blocks where it matters.
Yeah, I mean, that. I suppose that's it. I mean, can state attorney generals do anything? We talked about local sheriffs, Cash, right? I mean, is there any path forward there for justice, or what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I was just out in Arizona and Nevada with President Trump for the rallies last weekend. And that's the very concept we brought up. It said if Washington, D.C. is not willing to act, then the state attorney general can act. And Hunter Biden's laptop is a perfect example. It's not as if he only committed a federal crime. He committed multiple crimes in multiple states. And there's no reason that attorney generals in those respective states can't come to the fold and bring those charges immediately. And I even recommended that they look into that if the federal government comes up short or gives them a sweetheart deal. And because I'll remind everybody there, you know, this whole double jeopardy thing. You can technically prosecute someone for the same crimes in state and federal court. It is actually legal. And so if they want to play that game, then it's up to us to elect state AGs like Abe Hamed out in Arizona who are going to get the job done. And then when our federal government fails, like you pointedly asserted the other week, the states need to act.
And the states need to step up and act. You got a new book here, Cash. Tell us about it. We talked about it before. The Plot Against the King, 2,000 Mules. Tell us about it.
Yeah, thanks so much. Plotagainsttheking.com. So it's a series that President Trump launched for me. The first book, Plot Against the King, was Russiagate. I'm actually in Nashville right now at the launch party with John Rich of Big and Rich for Truth Social and the Plot Against the King, 2,000 Mules. I collaborated with Dinesh D'Souza to teach our kids and youth and young adults about election integrity and how if there's 100,000 people in the land and 200,000 votes, something's wrong. And the media went nuts, but it's okay to teach our children about facts and history and how an election was rigged with things like Hunter Biden's laptop. So we said it in medieval times again. And yes, we have Adam Schiff being peed on by a friendly dog. And of course, we have glowing food. So I think everybody's going to love it. Plotagainsttheking.com. We're having a great time here in Nashville with John Rich and company, Aaron Lewis, and so many other greats are loving the book. And it's also on Truth Social. And President Trump wants to put it in every house and every library in America. So, you know, hopefully you guys can help us do that. That's our mission these days.
Final question here, Cash. What's the latest on the Mar-a-Lago raid that seems to not be primary focus after the Department of Justice decided to unconstitutionally raid the home of a former president? What's the latest on that entire saga?
Well, you're not going to love this answer. So, I'm not really publicly talking about that right now until we get we're working on some things with the former president. So we've agreed to just leave it there for now.
Fair enough. All right, Cash Patel, thanks so much. See you soon.
Thanks, sir. Bye.
What is happening with John Fetterman, who is running for the Senate race in Pennsylvania, should make all of you the biggest Dr. Oz fans on the planet. John Fetterman, if he was okay health-wise, his ideas are completely and totally wacky, but it's no longer a joke. John Fetterman simply cannot answer questions. John Fetterman cannot, not only can he not answer questions, he can't even understand the words of the questions that are being asked to him. So John Fetterman sat down with NBC News and he had to have closed captioning in front of him to be able to understand what was being said to him. He cannot understand words that are being said to him. And this is, I'm not trivializing this. I'm not trying to be cruel. John Fetterman cannot become a U.S. Senator. He does not have the health or the ability. He had a stroke. That's a sad thing. You are not able to serve in the U.S. Senate. That should be a disqualifying aspect. And if you live in Pennsylvania, if you know someone that lives in Pennsylvania, you need to send them this segment. You need to send them these clips and you need to say, it's better if you don't like Dr. Oz, just don't vote for Fetterman. You are voting for someone that will not be able to listen to constituents, listen to questions. He'll be totally controlled. How is this race even close? Well, that's a separate issue. Okay. So let's go to cut 57 of his interview in NBC News. Cut 57.
Politicians should realize that disclosing limited information about their health can make it more of an issue than full transparency. I know you're tired of answering these questions. Don't you think that if you just released those records and answered those calls, it would be easier to put this to bed?
Once I said, I believe that our doctors saying that we're fit to do it, and I have demonstrated my abilities and where I'm at.
He's looking at a closed captioning screen when he's answering these questions. Is someone feeding him lines? He's reading off a teleprompter. This guy makes Joe Biden look sentient. Cut 56. Here's a montage of his gaffes. Play cut 56.
The Eagles are so much better than the Eagles.
I'm doing fantastic. And it's not about kicking balls in the authority or anything. And make sure you take advantage of this amazing opportunity to the only thing you have stand to lose is your record.
What is wrong with demanding for an easy, safe kind of their income, a path to a safe place for them to win?
He can't understand voices. That's a very serious thing. You probably shouldn't be a U.S. senator if you can't understand voices. Cut 55. NBC presses a little bit more, play cut 55.
In terms of any symptoms related to the stroke or any other conditions, you know, you hadn't disclosed the AFib you were diagnosed with 5 years ago. Is there anything else that is in your health record, any other conditions or symptoms that you have not told voters about?
As far as I know, yeah.
As far as you know, there's nothing else?
Yeah, I don't think so.
All right.
And cut 46 has the reporter saying that they had a hard time understanding any of the conversation. Fetterman couldn't understand anything that was happening. Play cut 46.
We had a monitor set up so that he could read my questions because he still has lingering auditory processing issues as a result of the stroke, which means he has a hard time understanding what he's hearing. Now, once he reads the question, he's able to understand. You'll hear he also still has some problems, some challenges with speech. He had a hard time understanding our conversations.
Lingering auditory processing symptoms. You mean he can't understand what's being said? Pennsylvania, wake up. You can't elect this man. You've got to message. You got to get out. The grassroots have got to start hitting the ground. This guy would be a six-year senator, and it would be so sad for the country. Oh, it would be such a disgrace. Defeat him quickly. Please get the message out. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.